The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father." The Gospel of the Lord.
I invite my young friends forward for a children's message, calling all kids. Son, the Good Shepherd, who protects and feeds and is always with us. Help us to be good sheep and to follow our shepherd. We love you, God. Amen. Thanks for coming out. Good job.
I come from a family of Southern women who were crazy about China. Not the country China within the continent of Asia, but China as in dishes. Even though we lived quite modestly, we had everyday China, Christmas China, and then there was the good China. The good China was only used on special occasions, like if we were sharing a meal with our pastor, or if we had out-of-town guests. The dining room table would be covered with a tablecloth, freshly pressed. The good china was placed just so. The silverware was carefully taken out of the felt wooden box. We would not even consider using the everyday stainless steel with our good china. Then there were the special fancy glasses. We also had matching serving pieces that were strategically placed in the center of the table. And once the coffee had finished percolating, it was carefully poured into the china coffee pot to be poured into matching coffee cups. Simple but elegant, as I recall. The 23rd Psalm is kind of like the good china. We save it for special occasions. We hear it read at the bedside of someone who is actively dying. We often hear it at funerals and memorial services. However, I believe that the 23rd Psalm is a psalm for the living and can be used as a guiding principle for our everyday use. As you heard Pastor Paul say, today is the fourth Sunday of Easter, and it's a time when we begin to look beyond the stories of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to the differences the stories of Jesus make in our everyday lives as the risen Christ walks with us. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd in our gospel lesson, an image that was most likely formed in him from an early age as he read and prayed the Hebrew Scriptures. Among the many images the Israelites had of God, one of them was God as shepherd. And it is God in Christ who is the shepherd revealed to us in the 23rd Psalm. Psalm 23 is perhaps one of the best known passages in the Old Testament. It has been called the most cherished work in the English language and has been acclaimed as one of the most profound assurances of faith ever recorded. Sometimes the familiarity of it tends to desensitize us to the power of its message and the magnitude of God's love for us. This is a very personal psalm. Noted as a psalm of David, it is written with conviction about his personal experience with God. We tend to sentimentalize it. In our mind's eye, we imagine David as a young shepherd boy lying on his back in a pasture, pondering the things of God. Several commentators, however, believe that this psalm was written later in David's life, after he had lived through difficult circumstances. It was during those times that David heard God's voice and perhaps felt God's care and compassion. He knew God and had experienced God's presence and provision. This psalm can be for those who struggle in life and carry great burdens, but it offers so much more. The details of the imagery in this passage are somewhat foreign to us. I dare say many of us know people whose vocation is that of a shepherd. But as you think through the text, I encourage you not to rush past the richness that these words can offer. Each promise in this psalm hangs on the first verse: "The Lord is my shepherd." The image of God as Israel's shepherd begins in Genesis when Jacob blesses Joseph's sons and continues throughout Scripture. The very word Israel means those who have wrestled or struggled with God. And we know quite well of the Israelites' struggles. The loyalty and devotion of a shepherd to his sheep was common knowledge, and they wanted a shepherd because their lives were hard. Most likely, we have all heard sermons about the characteristics of sheep. To politely describe them, I will say that sheep are slow learners, and they frighten easily. Oftentimes, they want to go their own way, thus having a propensity to get lost. Kind of like the Israelites, they were fearful of where they were being led and mistrusting that goodness and mercy would always follow them. Consequently, they wandered down seemingly more promising paths toward other gods, which got them in deeper trouble. And eventually, they would return to God, and this cycle was repeated often. David's proclamation of God as shepherd gives way to the assertion, "I shall not want." The primary needs of sheep, as you heard the children say, food, water, and rest. Sheep just do not take care of themselves. They are dependent upon a shepherd who knows where to lead them for what they need. David writes that when sheep trust and follow the shepherd, they will not lack the basic necessities of life. For it is the shepherd who makes the difference in the sheep's lives. As we move through the verses of the text, not only are we reminded that God knows us and provides for us, but that God restores us and guides us, protects us, comforts us, and exalts us. I don't know about you, but I know I need these assurances every day. Yes, this psalm can comfort us, but it also can strengthen us. We are strengthened through God's provision, through God's peace and presence with us, and God's protection, and God's offer of paradise. Have you ever really been frightened? about when your family's financial security has been threatened, like when your computer is hacked. Or maybe you have received a medical diagnosis that could potentially end your life. Perhaps you have found yourself at the police station after your child has been arrested, or maybe when you have been robbed. These and many other circumstances in life are the darkest of valleys. And this psalm reminds us that none of us are immune to valley experiences. Those times when the difficulties we experience frighten us, disrupt our equilibrium, cause us to run away from our shepherd. Our arrival in the valley is unpredictable sometimes. What happens in the valley is unpredictable. And the time when we leave the valley is unpredictable. The good news is that our time in the valley does not last forever, even though it seems like it will. The best news of all is that we are not alone in these valleys. God is with us. God comforts us. That is how David survived the valleys of his life. It is how first responders to any of our national and international crises get through them. And that is how we move through life as well. God with us. We hear that at the special time we know as Advent and Christmas, when we sing Emmanuel, but it is true every day. Sometimes it doesn't seem so, but I am confident that God is closer to us than life and breath, and especially when we are in the valleys. This psalm is dearly loved. It is simple to understand, and it is brief. It is also real. The psalm does not depict life as all sweetness and light. We are guaranteed valleys, yet we have the assurance that God knows us and is with us. God will care and provide for us, even though we don't always know when or how. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of confidence and trust. It begins and now ends with a proclamation. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us our whole life long. Or if you look at the Hebrew, it says, surely goodness and mercy will pursue us. That can be difficult to understand. How many of us feel like we are being followed with goodness and mercy? With our limited understanding as finite beings, we cannot always comprehend this promise, but we can make this promise a foundation of our faith and hope. And perhaps that is why we save it for the end of life, because like David, we finally see that despite our difficulties, despite our sin, despite our failures, yes, we have been pursued by goodness and mercy. We need a shepherd every day in the messiness of life. Like the shepherd described in the 23rd Psalm and in today's gospel lesson and in today's children's message, don't save the 23rd Psalm for special occasions like we do our good china. Let's not wait until the end of our lives to enjoy the richness of this passage. Live ever aware of God's presence, provision, and care for you and for all people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.